Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. It's Wednesday. Here we are. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, and do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, callers. Also, our callers may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. We really appreciate if you follow us or like our pages, so we encourage you to do so if you call the show regularly, or even if you call once in a while. We appreciate your support. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And we're waiting for a few callers at the moment.
Yeah, we really would appreciate it.
I'm having a speech problem myself today.
My speech therapist, I went to 4 years to Elmer Fudd.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a speech foundation. We really would appreciate you following us and supporting our show in any way you can. We're coming up to our 800 show together, Kristen and I. 800 shows. We're about 797 right now. So that's a lot of shows. That's a lot of shows we've done. So we would appreciate your continued responses and support and following us. And what else can they do?
They can follow us, like our pages, send us donations. We had someone who was kind enough to do that.
Yeah, the show
last week, which was really nice. I mean, that hasn't happened very. I mean, maybe three times or twice, two or three times over 8 years is not very many donations, but. In any case, we did receive one.
Well, that just goes to show you that we are here supporting you people, and it does cost money to put the show on Blog Talk. So if you are inclined to support us and want to show some sense of gratification.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Gratification is too, right? I didn't say gratification.
I don't know if that's it. But they would be, if they were gratification. They're receiving the gratification.
Well, you could be gratitude.
Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Anyway,
we're not, this is not a show. But, it is interesting to get into the science and awards.
And it's surprising because with so many shut-ins now.
Shut-ins.
What?
It's true. There are.
Oh, I thought I was using the word.
No, it's right. But shut-ins, normally, you would think of shut-ins as people who really are isolated from the community. And now we've all become shut-ins.
Isolated.
We've all become shut-ins.
Think with all these shut-ins, there would be a shoe-in to the show.
I know. It's really, really strange. Really
usually,
strange.
On working days, we get a lot of calls, but that doesn't prompt us to have a lack of ideas and discussion to talk about, in this idea of isolation.
I have to say, personally, it's getting to me a little bit. I mean, we stay home a lot anyway, because we are based out of the home primarily for everything that we do. So, we're used to being at home, so it's not like there's been a big change. Like we've been clocking into it, been going to a job, commuting, that's not what our lives have been. At least my life has not been like that for the past 8 years. So it's not a huge adjustment. However, I'm starting to feel cooped up, and I'm sure a lot of other people are starting to feel the same way. You know, it was nice to actually get out and go on a walk the other day. It was like, yay, we're going on a walk. Simple pleasures like that are important right now.
There used to be a British dog trainer or dog person, and she would go for walkies. Time for walkies. She has since passed away, but she was real big news. She had her own dog show. And I don't know whatever happened to Cesar Chavez.
Cesar Chavez.
Oh, is that it?
I don't know if it's Cesar. It may be Cesar. I didn't watch the show.
What was his name?
Dog Whisperer.
Dog Whisperer? I don't know. You haven't heard from him lately. But we're getting off the topic about going for walks.
the amazing and deep talk of going on a walk. How it can enhance your life. You know, it's important to get out, get fresh air, get moving, I think, because it was a thrill to be able to do that. You know, people can't go out to eat anymore. I know that they're saying, you know, use takeout, but now there's a risk supposedly of catching something because the food is handled by so many people. And then once it gets to the person that orders it, then, you know, the risk of coronavirus, if that's really a risk, who knows? But takeout is a little bit dangerous. And it's sad because local businesses, small businesses may not make it through this time. We know of one in particular that we are shocked and have been supporting for years and years and years that may shut down permanently as a result of this. So it's unfortunate that the economy has been so negatively affected. And the middle class is the middle and lower classes are really the ones who are suffering the most as a result of this. It's very sad.
Like you said, there's a lot of people shut in. I was just reading about Randy Newman, the songwriter. They interviewed him in the Times, a brief interview about being shut in. He's pretty humorous, but
he's humorous anyway. I mean, his songwriting is humorous.
Humorous and sardonic and a little bit sarcastic, but he's an observer and he's pretty versatile and things like that. But you always can recognize his songs, but sometimes they take on social significance, sometimes they're just fun. But you know, he's reading books, and he lays on the couch a lot, and according to him, he would like to maybe help his wife do the housework, but she calls him incompetent. So he just says, I sit and lay on the couch and admire how competent she is.
I got to read that article.
So,
And sadly, John Prine died. I mean, that was a shock last night. A huge shock. I don't know. It really hit me. Very sad. Amazing songwriter. I mean, Bob Dylan has praised him, Johnny Cash, who are obviously legendary in their own right in terms of songwriting and being performers, of course. But
He was compared to Mark Twain and some of the characterizations he did.
It's very, very sad.
So, you know, but the point is, you know, we're also talking about somewhat reclusive people who their profession demands that they be inside, and for the most part, and somewhat reclusive in that regard. So being reclusive doesn't mean you can't be creative and artistic and have fun and get through it. At least in your home, you're safe, apparently safe. Do we have a caller?
We do. Hold on, let me. I actually have an email I got to pull up from her. Hi, Beth.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. I'm just enjoying the sunshine right now out here for a brief moment on my deck.
Oh, well, that's good. See, getting outside is important right now, I think.
I'm going to go for a bike ride.
Oh, that's nice. It was rainy here. I mean, I love the rain. I really do. But today, unfortunately, it's supposed to be raining all day, and it's not. It's actually somewhat sunny. So I'm pulling up your email because you sent some birthdates over, and I wanted to
Yeah, from my grandfather who I never met.
You never met him. You know, so it's going to be interesting. There are going to be some things that we're not able to, I mean, you're not going to be able to validate. But
well, I know information from other people that know him. And my father, I just recently found out my father met him and started investigating a little bit more.
Don't say anything yet, though, about him. Don't say anything yet about him, because first of all, let's just get his birth date added up. So he's born, Neil, if you want to write it down, 1889. November 11th, 1889. So he has a 2-9 going on there. I mean, obviously, there's a strong 11 anyway, because he's born in the 11th month. 1889. So I calculated this. I was adding this up yesterday. 12, but I want to make sure I did the right thing. 20. He's a 37-10-1. Okay, so I did. So this is the.
Wait a minute. What did you get?
Okay, we were getting different numbers. I got it 37-10-1. 9-10-11. 12. 20. 8.
I get a 30.
28. No.
I get a 30. 11-11?
That's 11-9.
Oh, 11-9? Oh, okay. I thought you said 11-11.
He's a 37-10-1, yeah. Beth. And he was married. Okay, do you want his death date? Does that matter? I mean, he died 3/28/1954. But what I thought was really significant when you when I looked at this is the fact that he was married. He was married not only in the month of his birth, 6 days before the month of his birthday, but he was married exactly at the age of 37, and that's when he had a karmic change in his life. Sometimes with compounded, you haven't listened to our show for that long, but people with compounded birthdays, meaning you have to reduce twice to a single digit, it's harder to find a change at the age, you know, at the big age of karmic turnover, so like the number 37. But in fact, he was married at the age of 37, which is pretty significant.
Yeah, I actually didn't even realize that. I'd never calculated it out.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And I don't know. Neil can share his impressions in a minute, but for some reason, I'm getting for some reason a canteen, something that holds water. Is there anything with water related to water that has significance, as far as you know, with him?
I'm not sure. Actually, my dad's just calling me on the other line. I could ask him, but I don't want to interrupt. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I do know that they were near a creek in West Virginia.
Okay, that could be it. That could be it.
It's called Wheeling Creek.
Okay, so that could be the water element that I was feeling.
Okay. Okay.
Well, during the war years, a canteen was also a dance hall.
That's true.
So
I didn't even think of it in that term.
I just think about
that. Can you say
that
again? A canteen was what?
A dance hall. A dance hall, like a kind of canteen.
Well, I do know that he liked my mom told me that he was very good at dancing. I have limited information. I can tell you other information, but I'll wait until you.
So that's interesting, because that word canteen, I told you, is really coming through strongly for me. And I was, you know, when you're trying to interpret, sometimes you miss. Mm-hmm. And so, Neil, that was really astute of you to mention that canteen was referred to as a dance hall, because now it makes sense.
Yeah, the canteen during the war years. And it wasn't just, the canteen, a lot of soldiers and people in the 40s, that was the dance place. That was the nightclub. The canteen.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I don't know why the word was. I mean, the origin of canteen is a canister.
I can
holding.
Look it up.
It might have been
because
a holding place
for
dancing. But your grandfather.
A holding place for what?
Dancing. You know, that's
okay,
why
gotcha.
Canteen, and teenagers I'll would go there, so they called it the canteen, meaning of teenagers go and dance. At the holding place. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But your grandfather's numbers represent some form of teacher. Now, most human beings who've lived a long time ultimately become teachers. You know, they become teachers in some formal sense or informal sense. But your grandfather, I mean, aside from the fact that he would have had a very tumultuous life in his
childhood,
earlier years and some trouble, he does represent a very strong constitution. Now, that doesn't mean that he might be an old crusty character like Spencer Tracy and maybe drink a little bit. You know, he had a little liquor bottle in his back pocket, or he was a little crusty at times.
Crusty.
But, crusty old man.
No, I know. I know the...
But he was,
maybe
he was
getting
an,
into
al-
his
he
body.
Was an alcoholic.
Yeah,
he
that's
was an alcoholic.
Why.
I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and maybe
that's
why
probably...
the canteen came in, too, because a canteen also, if you look it up on the dictionary, in the dictionary online, it's a place for drinking.
But maybe he went
so
down, maybe he told his wife he was going down to the creek to fill up his, quote, canteen.
Probably not with the creek water.
But, no, he was going down there to fill it up with... Seagram's or something.
But the problem, I mean, the thing is he has a 29 in his month and day. So obviously people with 29s, according to our theories, you know, other numerological theories, they don't really, they look at 11s as, you know, like you're sainted or something. But 11s in our interpretation are trouble. A lot of darkness. And he had,
yeah.
I mean, 9 is tough.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
so
why I don't know that much about him, because my mom withheld a lot because of that. Yes.
Yeah. You know, his drinking.
Plus, he's
and
compounded.
The root system of his drinking might reveal some of the darkness that prompted him to start drinking and that darker side. But, okay, so that's the flip side. That's the one side of your grandfather. The other side would have been, he would have been an interesting character to talk to, because he probably had a lot of experience. And I don't know, but I'm getting a hard energy regarding like railroad nails or something to do with construction. But there seems to be the rail system. I don't know if there's a train that was nearby or, but maybe there was something in his younger years. He was born in 1889, so that was approximately 20 years after the Civil War, but he certainly went through a lot. You know, he went through the automobile and the invention and all that. There was quite a bit that he went through. So he was living in his boy years when there were still horses and wagons, and then the Roaring Twenties. The thing that he says to you, the only thing that I'm hearing right now has to do, first of all, symbolically maybe, with the name Rosalind or Roseanne or Rose or something like this.
Okay, I have to figure out who that is. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, you might want to check it out with your dad.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's... Did you have a few years where you were involved with him?
Where I evolved with him,
no,
I have.
No,
I think
involved.
I have some similarities.
No, she died. She's not 50. She was. He was. He died in. I'm sorry, 1954. So she hasn't. She wasn't born.
He died in 54.
She wasn't even born at that point.
I didn't
point.
Get that.
Her birthday is in 1954.
Yeah, I never met him. I only know of him. So.
Well, he died 54. So he was 65 years old, approximately. 65.
Yeah, he wasn't very old when he died.
So did he die of alcohol, because of alcohol-related problems, or was it something completely different?
I'll have to ask my dad. I'm not sure. I'm just now, asking my dad and finding stuff out. So I also know, and I don't know if this is giving too much information, that he was a professional boxer.
He was a boxer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would relate to... crustiness, because you've got to, that you were saying, well, it's not a stretch. I mean, maybe I'm giving you too many points, but you've got to have a real, boxers are,
Well, the only
got
thing
a
about
tough
the
attitude
would be the roughness. Well, yeah, the roughness around his life, but we really didn't get into. I mean, you offered that thing about boxing. We really didn't get into an in-depth reading about your grandfather, and dying at 65, mm-hmm. being born when in 1889, that would have been he would have been like 80 years old when he. If today, that would have been like 80. Because men that were born in 1889,
oh,
you
mean
the
age
only,
that
the
you
lifespan
reached.
Was,
the
you
lifespan
know,
was less.
65 was a good life, amazingly so. You know, you get to be 65, 70, and you were born in the 1800s. That was a good age. That was okay. He might
my,
have been,
my grandmother, who he was married to, lived a lot longer than that.
Females
so.
Typically do. Females typically do, and the men in that time zone usually expired much sooner than the women. A lot of women were widows, but 65 was the beginning of looking at the threshold of having your last years
did,
on the planet if you were a man.
Did you know her? That your grandmother?
Oh yeah, I knew my grandmother very well. So I just recently found out that they were divorced, and I didn't know that either. I just found that out from my dad.
So they divorced prior to his death. I mean, they didn't get back together. They divorced and completely separated. Because I know that the reason I ask is I know of couples from that era that divorced and then actually did get back together and remarry.
You know, I mean,
I don't think
divorce
so.
Wasn't as common then.
Beth, you didn't know him that well. I don't know what's piquing your interest with him. You didn't know him that well, and I don't know really in theory why your grandfather would be lingering around. I don't there might be a vibration we're picking up on. I don't know, but
what's going to happen with him is in terms of his next lifetime, he's going to be a 38-11 too, which, you know, that 11 will show up in his karmic number entirely, the 11 in his day. Mm-hmm. Because if he died with troubles like that and had problems with alcohol, I mean, it's tough to transcend. So
yeah,
that will be his
next
number.
You got to think when you expire, when you cross over, are you really going to hang around on the planet or near the planet to watch generations? And I mean, the astral realm is so vast.
Well, and he'd be,
and there's so many other things that have to be accomplished.
And he'd
there.
Be way past. I mean, oftentimes if his soul is troubled, Beth, the soul will stay within the astral plane of the earth until the normal age of the expected age of death. With your grandfather, I mean, he's well beyond that. He wouldn't have been, unless, you know, he was some Guinness Book of World Records type of guy, he wouldn't still be hanging around the astral plane according to his normal lifespan, because that would have been, you know.
Now, if he was a boxer, you know, and so far he was a boxer, if he taught boxing.
Did he?
Not that I'm aware of. We do have teachers in my family, but yeah.
Oh, well, that's something. Well, but what did he do for a living? Was he, that was his life? He was a boxer?
Well, I know from what I understand, he came back from the war and I guess was, I don't know if he was having PTSD or something. I'm not quite sure. I think he stole something for a little while and really wasn't working very hard and didn't make a lot of money. And, I just heard that they divorced him. I don't know too much about his, any gainful employment.
Well, that would be World War
I. They had a farm. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
That would be World War I if he came back from the war. I mean, that Spanish-American War, he came back. That was probably World War I.
Yeah.
Because there was no way it was World War II. And
right, yeah, because I have a picture of him from World War I.
Yeah.
He's been too old for World War II.
Well, that was a treacherous time for American soldiers. You know, in the trenches and the gas and terrible, terrible. So he might have been, and back then they didn't have the kind of outlets for psychological counseling. A lot of men just I mean, to be a survivor was also another war zone that they had to go through.
Which is
maybe and he seemed to have trouble working. And so his life was filled with trouble. And he was probably a tough character with the boxing. You know, and if there's a line of teachers in your family, that if any of those teachers were a result of his seed or, you know, his lineage.
Bloodline.
That might be something to consider, because one place of him being on the planet would have been ultimately to produce children, grandchildren, or extensions thereof that would have resulted in teaching and teaching on a higher level of energy. I am getting the number three around him, so I don't know if he had siblings. I don't know if he had three kids. I don't know your history that well, but.
What can you, or perhaps your grandmother's birthday? That might be helpful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not good with numbers. I'm not sure about the three. I told you this before. I think that I have eight brothers and sisters. We grew up in sets of three because there was nine of us all together. So, and we have a lot of teachers in my family.
Okay, well, that is part of the lineage then, so that counts, because in your family, with your siblings are teachers?
I'm number seven in my family.
Right, but are your siblings teachers?
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely. We have a lot of teachers in my
Then it does directly connect to the lineage of your grandfather. It's not like it's your mother's aunt that's a teacher. The teachers are directly connected to the grandfather. And you said you grew up in sets of three. You don't have your grandmother's birthday.
I could get it sometime, but yeah, I'm not good with numbers.
She could be a three. She could have a three in her number.
Your connection, Beth, your day and his and your grandfather's day add up to a 12, which is your month.
Do you have it?
And
okay. Well, I feel like that my grandfather and I have a lot in common, and that's why I've tried to explore him, because I found out, like, little by little, a lot of commonalities that we have, and that's how I started to learn about him, because I had this unexplainable urge to learn the box that I went through, and I kept telling my mom I had no idea where it was coming from, and then she finally told me that my grandfather was a professional boxer.
Yeah, well, now we get into a little bit more interesting aspect, because your day and his day is a 12, which is your month.
Okay.
Your years are interchangeable, 8 to 9 and 6 to 9. They each become
and I was born on the and I was born on the 3rd.
So yeah.
That has to do with
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Your day and his day, 9 and 3 adds up to 12.
Right, and your second, the two in your month and the one in his month add up to a three. In fact, the birth months are not only align, so the one to one and the one to two become each other's months, but they're also interchangeable. Meaning, if you put an X between them, you become each other's months.
Now, boxing is and when you look at the old photographs and the drawings of boxing in the early years, a lot of the men had handlebar mustaches. And one of the things about boxing, I mean, they didn't have the rules and regulations yet. The Boxing Association Commission hadn't been established probably when he was boxing. So the rules weren't always, they were sort of gentleman rules, or maybe they were regional rules, but, you know, the form of professional boxing I don't know if it had kicked in. He died in 1954. And I remember watching boxing with my own grandfather, who was a big fan of it. And they used to have boxing on every, I think, Friday or Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And I would watch it diligently, religiously with him. And in 54, I was still a little boy, but I remember.
You like boxing.
And I like boxing.
I'm not a fan of boxing.
I'm a big fan of boxing.
Don't like it.
So, I've done some research with it, but that's not.
I mean, it's an interesting sport. I just find it gratuitously violent. So that's
me.
And
I
like
very dangerous.
You know, I like individual competition, like boxing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But boxing in particular, liking to. Now, you know, when you get into the origins of it, is there any English background or Scottish background in your family?
I'm primarily under the impression that we are German and Irish. Yeah.
Irish.
And
I
think like
Irish.
strong Irish. Yeah.
Did you hear me say Irish?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have red hair, so.
Oh.
Well, and it's right in the neighborhood anyway.
Yeah.
Scotland,
we're in
England.
We're in the region, in the Isles there and everything. Mm-hmm. There's something back there, and the Irish, you know, the Irish Rebellion and Ireland, there's a lot of warfare and history back there in Ireland. A lot of controversy there as well in the form of rivalry and fighting and the Catholics and everything like that. But the, I don't know. There might be the fact that you liked boxing too. Now, the one interesting thing that might be entertaining to investigate is your past life with your grandfather. So, if you go into if you go into his youth or something and get more details from your grandmother, she's still alive, Grandma.
No, my mother and my grandmother are not alive. The only person that can tell me right now is my dad. He said he met him briefly once, but my mom did not talk about him a lot. So,
and
my mom, I don't think
that
much.
There was a strange relationship.
And I never figured it out, yeah. And
yeah.
I'm curious, and I tried to ask, but I couldn't get a lot of information. So I've been curious all the time, and I almost felt like in a way that I reminded my mom. I reminded her of my grandfather, and I think it might have irritated her a little bit because we had similarities with dancing, and we had we both loved words, and you know, this boxing thing, and just things would keep creeping up, you know. And so I was just curious if I could have been part of him or something. You know?
Well, you are part of him for sure. I mean, you're part of the lineage,
right?
I mean, there's a karmic connection as well because it's not only, I mean, not only just on, you know, basic theory that because you came from his seed, essentially, I mean, a few people down the path, but in the numbers, there's significant connections that show that there is a karmic connection that's deep. So, probably in a past life, you were more involved with him than you are in this.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. I would venture to say that.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, you're 20 years apart, essentially.
What?
I mean, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Numbers are very abstract to me.
Okay, I'm just talking about your age. I was looking at the six. I was looking at the six and the.
That's okay. I'm impressed that you guys can do all these numbers.
No, it gets confused. No, sometimes it gets confusing. But anyway, he was a 20-year-old grandfather.
That's okay.
He was very, very big.
No,
between the ages of eight and 12.
Wait a minute here. 89 and
he was born in
16,
1889.
Yeah, and 69.
So 69. He was.
That's why I was doing the 20 because
right.
I was subtracting. I see what I did.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
okay.
My year is 69. You're right. 69. 79,
70, 80.
80. 80 years apart. You're 80 years apart.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to see if there's anything.
I don't know. You know, Beth, I don't know if there's any great, it's entertaining. It might be fun to research. You have some similar attitudes with your grandfather. You have stories that were told. You seem to have a place in your mind that you know you were very similar to him in other aspects like boxing and dancing. Well, okay. So you know, you gotta, I don't know, what is your main concern? What are you trying to discover?
Oh, I was just curious to learn, to see if there was anything at all I could learn, because I've never met him. So I wasn't sure if you might have any insight, or if he came forward or anything like that, you know?
Okay. Well, I mean, something.
Well, you bring up a point that's important, because that has to do with teaching. So you're seeking some kind of lesson from him, or some information. And that may be why we're picking up this element of teaching. So if there is something that you desire to learn from him, and we picked up the word teaching, that might indicate an active level of communication.
Okay.
Now we're getting into something a little bit more pertinent to your interest. I don't know what he has to teach you.
I mean,
have you done any? Go ahead.
I was going to say, if there's anything he has to teach me, I'd appreciate it, because somebody that's lived that long ago has got to know something.
Well, have you done any, you know, like on MyHeritage, have you done any research, getting
into this? I really haven't, but people have done a lot of work in my family doing our family lineage research already. So I have a lot of pictures. I have a lot from that my mom had organized, also from our side and from my dad's side of the family. So,
I see.
And my family's so huge that I figured I had enough information. We're just having 8 brothers and sisters, you know. So,
well, it sounds like there's information that you can find, and if there's any, I don't know how many siblings he had. They're probably all gone by now. I guess. But if there are, you know, cousins, there might be more you can find out if you start digging a little deeper into the family. I don't know how connected you are to your extended family, but.
Well, you're 50, what, one?
I'm 50. I just turned
you're
50.
You're going to be 51? You're going
she
up, coming
51.
Up to 51?
Yes.
Well.
In December.
You know, what you've got to do, Beth, is ask yourself, what do you need to learn? And then focus on your grandfather. If there's any photographs of him, look at his photograph before you go to bed and focus on the question. Go to sleep and find out in the astral realm if any dreams are presented to you where you might be able to
connect,
define that there's a communication going on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great tangible idea. I like that, because I think the last time I spoke with you, I told you I'd had a very gruesome dream about that I didn't really, it was so gruesome I couldn't even go into it, but that my mother from the other side stopped the dream, or, you know,
yeah,
to help me out.
Well, you know, people who die with, quote, demons like alcohol and hard life, they carry that energy into the astral realm with them. And there are energies in the astral realm that aren't particularly friendly. They're more hostile.
Right, so they can attach to souls.
So
if
you ventured into the astral realm in your sleep through your astral body, and if you were exposed to some kind of darker element, your mother may have been protecting you in that, your grandmother or your mother, they have been protecting you in that respect. And what you can do, if you're a boxer, you don't be afraid. There's nothing in the astral realm.
More of a triathlete right now. I don't do boxing as much as my grandfather ever did.
No,
I'm
but
more
the,
of a
I mean,
the cyclist runner.
But in
I have
terms
some
of...
background in it.
Well, you don't need, you know, I mean, you don't need to fear the astral realm by this suggestion, and it sounds like something you are interested in doing. So I would look up some photographs of your grandfather. I would focus on him before you go to sleep, and I would allow yourself to consciously think, I want to go into the astral realm tonight. I want to see if I can encounter you. Record any dream, write down any dream you have. It may be obscure, but that doesn't mean it doesn't involve your grandfather. and then share it with us on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll definitely do that. I'll keep a journal, a dream journal.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this has helped, Beth.
Yeah, I just even talking through it, because I just came upon his picture, and I was didn't even realize that it was him, and then I started asking my father about it from just learning. So.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
I appreciate you taking the time. It is interesting.
Is that the only picture you have?
Think so. Most likely, I'd have to ask my other family members if they have any other ones. But it's a pretty big picture, so I can definitely use that one.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me before we get to the caller next.
We don't have another caller.
Oh. Wait, oh. Let me just take a look at the picture real quick.
Yeah, I enlarged it, and I saw he had a ring on, and it doesn't look like a regular wedding ring, but I'm assuming that's what it is because it looks almost like it's a brown pearl, and I couldn't quite figure it out. I didn't know what that was.
Well, in a minute, I'll take a look at the picture, and then we'll be moving on. But
that's fine.
I'm sorry. It's. I'm like for some reason. Why? Okay. Here he is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's.
And he had a nickname that I was. Not sure what all of his, he has a lot of nicknames, and I'm not sure the significance of all of them.
Oh, my God. But, you know, there's a movie called 1914. It just came out. It was nominated for Best Picture. 1917.
Okay. I want to make sure we're in the right year.
Because the war started in 1914. So 1917, the movie just came out. It was nominated for Best Picture. It's an amazing film, a good movie. There are two main characters in it, okay?
Okay.
The character, one of the characters, and this is the one that ends up, he's searching, he's trying to warn about the advancing Germans and his brother, and he's trying to save his brother. That character, the one who has a brother, this guy looks almost exactly like him.
Wow. Interesting.
Your grandfather, when I looked at this picture, it looks almost exactly like the character who played that person.
Wow. I'll have to take a look at that show. I wonder if there's any significance. I'm going to write it down.
It's in the theaters right now. Well, I mean,
you can find it online. You can get it on.
And I mean.
You can probably get it on Netflix or something.
No, you can't get it on Netflix. You might be able to.
Okay, but it's called 1913?
1917,
sorry.
Yeah, look up and see. And anyways, watch it anyways. It's a great movie. But this guy, your grandfather, looks like the actor that plays the character.
Yeah, I mean, and you can at least, Beth, even if you don't see the movie right away, you can look up 1917 and you can see the cast and, you know, find out.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, which actor. I don't know what the actor's name is.
But he's not.
Does that ring that he's wearing, the ring that he's wearing, does it have any significance?
I can't really make it out. It might be
okay because I was able to enlarge it. Oh, okay. I was able to enlarge it.
No, it's still it's not good. The enlargement, it's really blurry.
Fuzzy.
Might be a high school ring or something.
I'm trying to remember because I don't remember him. I mean, I didn't. That did not. I'm looking up 1917 right now, full cast and crew, because I didn't. When I saw the picture, I didn't connect it to the movie personally. Mm-hmm.
It looks just like them.
Well,
the uniform doesn't look very comfortable if that's some kind of uniform.
I don't think they were designed for comfort necessarily.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of suit or something. It doesn't look very functional for the things that one would need to do. Unless that's just the dress part. And that's
Well, I'm not sure what rank he had or what regiment he was in.
This guy? This guy?
No. No, just look at the cast of 1917.
Well, I'm going through the main people.
No, just look at the cast.
Well, that's
Go to the movie and look up the cast.
I am.
These are just
I have to go backwards. I have to go backwards to get through.
Technology.
Here he is.
Well, he has a more... This one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think so. I'm sticking to my opinion, and I think he looks almost exactly
somewhat.
Like him.
There's something similar.
I think he looks almost exactly like
he's,
him.
The guy in the movie is darker features.
It wasn't the lighting.
No, his features are darker. I watched the movie,
I don't know.
He looks just, more, this guy looks more, you know, Irish English.
Maybe, but I'm saying that.
Yeah, the face is similar.
Very similar.
Structure. Okay, anyway. Mm. And I'm trying to get Dean Charles Chapman is the actor. Dean Charles Chapman.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Okay. All right, well, yeah, he has got that round type of face.
Well,
yeah, he's darker hair, I think.
But he looks a lot like him. Anyways, watch the movie.
Oh, I'll check it out. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, yes, you've got an extended session today because of our...
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. That was lucky.
But yeah. Well, it was fun. So, all right. Take care, Beth.
Thank you. You guys, too. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Have a nice week.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay.
Boy, she really got a lot of time.
I know. She was lucky. Well, that was good. I mean, there was a lot of connections, actually. And, you know, the fact that he was 20 years old, a grandfather, I mean, kind of one for the records.
Well, yeah. I mean, by his year,
I know.
He was in World War I.
Yeah,
that wouldn't have been psychic necessarily. No. The boxing, we kind of missed, but I don't know.
Oh, well, you know, there were things, so that's good.
You know.
And the phones are ringing.
Yeah.
I should check.
So I know we get a lot of call. We get a lot of listeners. We're getting call. I know we have a lot of listeners that listen to the archives. So we don't want to just waste this time and make it important. But I think that, you know, in the what's going on right now, keep a diary. Maybe you could show it to your kids later or something, but keep a diary, take photographs, keep clippings in the paper, create something that has some form of an assemblage of history regarding what we are all going through on a global level. And we haven't reached the, peak of this yet.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, when was the last time, because as I, you know, I've been thinking about this and the fact that I've had particularly a hard time buying supplies, basic things, sugar, toilet paper, flour, the essentials. When was the last time that they did rationing? Because I mean, right now we're not in this situation where rationing is occurring, but
they
was
did,
that World
you know,
War
they,
II?
It was like 20 years ago, there was some kind of rationing thing going on, but I can't recall what was the, what was the situation, but there was some rationing, and then they had gasoline rationing. I mean, we've gone through crisis before.
But this is the most.
This is a lot more.
This is more intense than anything I've ever experienced. So in your, you weren't World War II. You were born after World War II. But World War II, I believe they did rationing.
Yeah.
There was rationing during the war.
And that a lot of you had to collect.
I'm sure during World War
I. Yeah, they did then. I think that what this also brings up is just how fragile life is, because we tend to think of, we tend to think of the big ones like cancer and things like that, lung disease. Then we get into ideas about dying in a car accident. But when you have an invisible agent that seems to be aggressively seeking human beings so it can dissolve their lungs and occupy their immune system, and ultimately destroy them, and then spread to the next. It's like a great menace. The idea that now the most precious thing we have on this planet, on a baseline figure, is breath. We talk about breath as
I thought you were gonna say toilet paper. That's probably the most precious thing. Most precious.
Without toilet paper,
point.
You might lose your breath or you know whatever. But right now, breath is the true position of our life, and it's crucial because without it, we can't live on this planet.
And not only that, when you get into the idea of breath, not only for human existence, but in terms of art. I mean, the breath in music.
Breath is in all that.
But composition
this,
of poetry and writing, all
right,
of that.
Right, all of that. But this is a proponent of a different kind of aspect of breath, as in climate control. The quality of our air, which was, I think, a prerequisite to this. We don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously that people are vulnerable to the quality of the air and that we need to have climate control. And this is hopefully a severe wake-up call to those people who avoid the issue of the quality of breath to our fellow as a planet.
I agree with you, Neil. I do, but I do want to add something to that because there are people that are ignorant that don't take into account keeping the environment clean and aren't personally responsible. But there's also other things going on that contaminate our air, and a lot is blamed on the common man.
Yeah.
There's a deeper agenda going on with climate control. You know, you get into the idea of chemtrails and what is put into the environment, weather control, all those types of things. So there are things that are beyond the control of the average person.
Yeah, I mean, essentially we don't have to, but we can end up killing ourselves. You know, and this, they're not really sure where this started. There's a theory it started in the wildlife market, a live wildlife market with a bat and an armadillo, and the spreading of disease from that. Now there's an article that a tiger in the Bronx Zoo, I think, has contracted
it. So now they say that your pets are vulnerable.
Could be vulnerable.
Which is frightening.
I mean, we are all sharing this planet. And if we don't pay attention to the most vital aspect of this planet, which is breath, and the value of breath, and how we have to take care of breath, beginning with scope, or Listerine, but the
depending
idea,
on your brand preference.
Yeah, but the idea that we have to think before we act, and if we don't think and we take breath for granted because of our own need for consumption or pleasure, or hobbies or whatever it is, profit. Industry, economy, if we don't consider the ultimate deadline of what results when we actively contribute to the dysfunctional attitude of what breath is all about.
Well, I think
we tend to suffer.
I imagine that now that everybody's been ordered to stay at home, that the air quality has improved significantly because there are less cars on the road.
Well, it's a lot. You know, it if this becomes a harsh, ugly lesson, but it ultimately leads us to become more conscious of our planet, then. It unfortunately, it's a lesson we need to hear, and we're talking about teaching with Beth. The lesson of our planet is we've got to take care of everything on it, and we have to be diligent about that, and we can't let greed or self-interest get in the way of the quality of life.
Well, I agree with you, but there is a battle between good and evil on the planet, so even with the most, the highest consciousness of every person living on the planet, we're talking about the average person, there is still darkness
There's always
so,
going to be some
so
form
it's,
of duality.
It's, you know,
there's always going to be some
difficult,
form of darkness.
It's going to be difficult. You know, if everyone's conscious, that's great. But it may
yeah,
not
we're not,
solve
we're not, and
the problems
profiting
of the world.
From this.
Absolutely.
We're not going to be able to change the world.
Right.
But if more of us are aware of how to take care of this planet and how to take care of our fellow human beings and our fellow creatures,
then it will improve
the quality
the condition.
Of the air.
Yeah.
You know, numbers count. And we may not be able to bring everybody on board into this way of thinking, but if we can more people, every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. Appreciate life. Respect our fellow creatures on the planet. Respect one another. And use this horrible, distressing time to learn about really, what is the quality of life?
Right, because respecting, I mean, in regard to, and we're closing the show in just a moment, but it, you know, in regard to respecting other life forms, for instance, that really helps to reduce karma, and that's what we're here to do. So when you're kind to another species, you know, you save an ant or a bee,
which we do.
That increases your karmic points. Or rather your points against karma. Plus, I mean, you know, it allows you a connection with nature, which is really, really, it enhances one's life immensely. It really does. So, okay, with that, we're closing the show. Friday, we're back on the air, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And we thank our listeners and our caller today. Bye.